When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Crowhart Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Cloud Bryant.
You got to pass me the conch so I can speak.
Okay.
Thanks. Now I have the conch.
Go ahead. I almost spoke without the conch.
All right, here's the conch.
I almost spoke without the conch. Here's the conch back.
Okay, thanks. We just do that the whole time.
And we need like a circle of people to turn around and shout what we're saying to everybody else who can't hear.
Would you or would you not ever attend Burning Man?
No. I mean, it sounds awesome, and like I think it's pretty cool that the people who go there are having a good time, but man. No,
not for me either.
I don't.
I like looking at pictures.
Yeah, it seems like a fun time. It seems like it would be a really neat experience, but actually going.
Yeah.
In reality, no.
Yeah.
Thanks for getting that out of the way.
I was just curious. I'll use one of my father's old lines. I wouldn't go to Burning Man if it was in my backyard.
Oh, really?
Not Burning Man, but that used to be his thing. I wouldn't see so-and-so play if they're in my backyard.
So, but that's almost like, you despise that. It sounds to me like you wouldn't go to Burning Man just because.
Oh, no, I don't despise it. I was just kidding.
Right.
It's, it's a very interesting thing, and I'm excited to talk about it.
Well, let's talk about it, Chuck. If you have been living under a rock for the past, 15 or so years since it's become a thing, we'll tell you what Burning Man is.
That's right.
It's a week-long festival that's held out in the desert, the Black Rock Desert in Nevada.
Yeah, Black Rock City. They create in their very own city.
Right. And it is like a planned city out in the desert. It's a small city. It's meant to be temporary because, as we'll see, everything that isn't taken down at Burning Man ends up burning.
And carried out.
Right. Everything that's not taken down is burned.
Yeah. And that's one of the tenets. We'll get to the tenets.
Oh, yeah. The principles, right?
Yeah, the 10 principles.
But just like if you are a burner is what they're called, and you go to Burning Man, and you're just there for the week, the festival, the fun, and you get there, there's a city, and you leave, and there's a city, and if you went a month on either side, there would be nothing there.
Yeah.
Because there's a group of volunteers who work as part of the Burning Man Festival who go and build the city and then take it down, because is what you were saying, one of the tenets, one of the 10 principles is leave no trace.
That's right.
So when they leave, there is allegedly not a trace that they were ever there.
I want to test that.
In this ancient lake bed in Arroyo.
Yeah, it is August 26th to September 3rd this year. Mm-hmm. And this year's art theme, they have an art theme every year, is Cargo Cult.
Yeah, which is pretty interesting.
I think so. 2010, it was Metropolis. 2009, it was Evolution. Before that, American Dream, Hope and Fear, The Green Man. They just have different art themes. And one of the things you can do there as a burner is build, either create your own theme group and experience.
Mm, like a camp?
Like a group, yeah, like a theme camp.
Right.
Which can be anything. I mean, did you look at some of the theme camps?
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the map.
Right.
Create your own big public work of art that is under that main theme.
And while you're out there, you're going to need a place to live, and a lot of people make art out of that.
I mean, really cool stuff.
Right.
Like, I'm not easily impressed. But when you look at some of these Burning Man, I won't say exhibits, but art pieces, and it's just mind-blowing how involved these things are, that these people carry in and assemble from all over the world.
Yeah, and like you said, the theme that's given out each year is meant to kind of unite all of these pieces of art into something, some common thread.
Yeah, but I'm sure you can just do whatever you want. It is Burning Man after
all. Oh, no. It's very strict. Like, if you show up with any art that doesn't fall within the prescribed guidelines, they will turn you away.
Not true.
No, and you make that joke because Burning Man is very much known for its anything goes atmosphere. It wasn't until 2004 that there were 10 principles that became official.
Yeah.
And this thing started in 1989, I think, or 1986.
Yeah, let's go back.
Let's go way back.
All right. 1986, San Francisco was at Baker Beach. A group of friends burned an 8-foot-tall man made out of wood as an effigy. The founder and the first dude to do that was, what was his name? Harvey Milk?
No. No, his name was Larry Harvey.
Larry Harvey.
Which is close.
He supposedly got the idea from this other friend of his, this woman who had burned things in effigy on that beach before. I think that's where he supposedly got the idea. It was not from the movie The Wicker Man, he said.
Yeah, a lot of people made that comparison. And he's like, no, you guys are way off.
Good movie, though.
And they're like, and have you seen the remake?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the original was pretty neat.
Yeah, bizarre. So they burned this 8-foot-tall man and kind of threw a little party. And then the next year that became a larger man and a few more people and a few more until it became so large that San Francisco said, you can't be burning things that large on this beach.
Right.
And they said, fine, we'll go take it to the high desert.
Well, apparently Larry Harvey was like, fine, we won't burn it, but can we keep this thing up? This was the year that like 800 people showed up.
Yeah.
Because the San Francisco Cacophony Society, which grew out of the Suicide Club, which is pretty cool in and of itself, put it in the newsletter that this thing was going on. So a bunch of people showed up. Larry Harvey said that, okay, we won't burn this thing, but we're going to leave it up and we'll just take it down. And everybody's like, whoa, no, we got to burn it. So at the end of that one, they disassembled it and decided that they would go burn it in the desert.
That's right. And I looked to see if there was an original symbolic, move behind this.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was, other than he just called it an act of radical self-expression. I don't think it represented anything.
That's one of the tenets, the principles.
That's right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, he's the man. He's keeping us down and we're burning him.
Right, exactly. Although it definitely has become that in a lot of sense. Not necessarily the Burning Man, but other stuff that's burned at Burning Man.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That was 1989, right?
Started in 86, and then 89 and 90 is when I think they moved to Black Rock Desert.
Yeah, they went to burn it at the end of 89 to end the festival in 89. And then 90, the whole thing began and ended in the desert.
Yeah.
And it became very much this thing where there are very few rules, no laws. Some people refer to it as a temporary autonomous zone.
Yeah.
Basically, it is a little town, like we've said, that is just totally left alone by the authorities.
Yeah.
The org, which is the group that runs the Burning Man Festival, deals with the Bureau of Land Management, and the BLM is like, okay, you guys just don't mess this place up and we'll let you do it and we're going to leave you alone.
Right.
And they're left alone and everybody goes in and they form, this social experiment, which is a city, a place, a group, a culture without consumerism or commodification.
Yeah, no consumerism, no buying and selling of things, it's not a music festival, although there is music there, like lots of like DJ parties and stuff, but it's not like Lollapalooza or something or Coachella.
There's nobody who's supposed to be making money off of this.
Yeah.
For profit. The only thing that really costs money is ice.
Yeah, and a few other things, but there supposedly is no cash transactions between burners.
Right. Well, hold on. Before we go any further, Chuck, it seems like it's a good time for a message break. Stuff you
should know. CNN, presenting Morgan Spurlock, Inside Man. a new original series, Sunday night, 10 Eastern and Pacific on CNN.
So, okay, where were we?
We were in the desert. This thing is growing from, and if you look at year by year, it's like 800, then 2,000, then 4,000, then 6, then 10, then 15. And it literally just kind of crept up like that up to the point now where I believe they're actually capping it at 50. And they're selling tickets, and it's now selling out.
Yeah, the first time it ever sold out was in 2011. And they have it set up, first of all, so that you can't scalp. Like, you are allowed 2 per credit card.
Okay.
But that apparently has just led to people, like, having a bunch of people call with their credit cards and keeping all of them for themselves.
Right.
They also have it on a sliding scale. So if you are buying early, you pay more. So I think it was like $650 for a ticket.
That's the opposite of how things like that usually work.
Right.
Usually the early purchase are the cheaper ones and it gets more expensive.
This does the exact opposite.
It's a little weird.
They get cheaper and cheaper as it comes. And apparently they're also what are called low income tickets, which are half price of the lowest normal price. And then apparently a lot of times if you show up, there will be scalpers there, but they're selling the tickets for less than face value, sometimes half of the lowest price.
Oh, just to fit that. Oh, that's kind of cool.
And I'm sure people give away a ticket here or there.
Oh, sure.
But it's gotten to the point now that it's sold out officially, 50,000 tickets, I think, or 48,000. Now it's like different. Like, you have to buy a ticket. You can't just show up because you might drive 350 miles from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then be like, we can't let you in.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's rules.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
There is rules. There aren't many rules aside from that, though. Like you said, it's kind of anything goes. Everything from sex clubs to people setting up their own bars to filmmakers and artists and performance artists. And I mean, it's really anything goes. And one of the things that they try to get people to do is take a little piece of that attitude back home with them.
Yeah.
You know?
For a lot of people... And I imagine there's some people who are true devotees of Burning Man and this
sure.
Burning Man philosophy. And like they go set up the city and like they maintain the website year round.
That's a segment.
There's others who are like new.
Sure.
There's some who are like there, but they're still bringing in a lot of the hang ups from the outside world. And like, sure, they have dreads, but they're also like real gossipy or whatever. And there's like just normal Joes.
Yeah.
A lot of DIY makers love going to Burning Man because like you're out there in the desert and like you better build yourself a shade structure or else you're going to burn. there's just a lot of hands-on building. So there's a lot of normal people with normal jobs who use a week of their vacation to go out to the desert and just totally cut loose. And like you're saying, part of the hope is that all of the stuff that happens here and just relaxing and forgetting about like having to spend money on something or, you know, like sharing your food with somebody you've never met. All of this stuff is meant to be carried out into the rest of your life. The other 51 weeks a year, as the author of the article puts it.
Yeah. Like I just gave away my last bit of food, but, a guy gave me 3 hits of acid and I just had sex with 4 strangers.
Right. And I haven't worn clothes for the last 3 days.
Yeah. And we all smell and it's great.
Yeah. Now there's certain aspects of it that you probably shouldn't bring back into your normal life.
Sure.
Like going to work naked is a bad idea under almost all circumstances.
Yeah.
But the mindset, the philosophy behind it, just the kind of like none of this matters as much as a lot of people put stock into it.
Agreed. So Black Rock City itself, if you have ever, it's not just a big, mass of tents. It is actually has a design. If you look at photos of Burning Man from above, it is a big C.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You never seen the aerial shots?
No. Why is it a C?
I don't know. Should be a B.
Sure.
Or an M. And it is a big C with the Burning Man. They just call him the Man. Is at the center, of course, and supposedly you can. They have him up on a big pedestal now, like 50 feet high, and it varies every year. But he's generally with the pedestal about 100 feet high.
Yeah.
So you can see him from anywhere in the camp.
Gotcha. And I think this year, because of Cargo Cult, they're building him on top of like this flying saucer.
Oh, really?
Structure. That's what the pavilion is meant to look like.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's in the hopes that aliens. Oh, yeah. Well, it looks a lot like a crop circle.
It looks very much like a crop circle.
Or a half-finished crop circle.
Yeah, lazy crop circle.
The org is saying on their Burning Man website that they hope that they're sure that this pavilion will attract lots of aliens, and they hope that it will stimulate our planet's faltering economy, which I've read a bunch of times, and I said, like, surely this is a joke. And it may be. And
what,
it's just lost
thing?
On me. No, the economy thing.
Oh.
They're hoping that our planet's economy will be stimulated by Burning Man attracting aliens. If you take the whole alien part out, the fact that Burning Man is concerned with our planet's economy being stimulated, there's this really interesting interview on a website called Public Books.
Uh-huh.
It's an interview with T.J. Jackson Lears, and it's called The Confidence Economy. I recommend everybody go read it because he's talking about how everything has transitioned to economics now. Like, as he puts it, like, it went from, like, all of our moral ideals went from the religious to the cultural and now to the economic.
Huh.
And so the idea of risk, this existential idea that like we're in danger or there's danger out there, and that by doing certain things or avoiding certain things, we're going into or avoiding risk, has now been melted down to a number on a banker's computer. Like, that's what risk is to us now.
Right.
Everything is economics. And like seeing that on their website, like, really kind of brought that home.
Huh.
That was my little thing on that.
Do you watch Veep?
No.
It's the White House show, comedy. And one of the guys, the new characters this year is, Gary, what's his face from Office Space?
Yeah.
Gary Cole.
Yeah.
And he's the numbers guy. And it's just sort of straight along those lines. All he does is talk numbers.
And that's apparently.
And that's his whole entire job and his staff's entire job.
That's how we've become as a culture.
Yeah.
Everything is economics based now.
It's kind of sad.
It is.
So back to Black Rock City. Where numbers don't count. It is 940 acres.
That's a number.
And it is, like you said, like a city. They have their ice store, obviously. They have recycling and volunteering and, medical facilities.
Yeah.
And information facilities and shuttles. Although one of the rules is you cannot drive on the playa. That's what they call it. That's why there's a lot of bikes. Biking seems to be the best way to get around.
Apparently, you can get a permit from the city, the nearby city that Playa falls under, I guess, the same county.
Uh-huh.
So you can, because there's art cars out there. But
well, you're not allowed to drive where the people are, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's, like, motorhomes is what most people stay in.
Yeah.
But, like, once you get there, you, like, take the keys out and burn them.
And then at the end of the week, you're like, man,
I just burned my keys.
That was self-expression true, but.
There are no fires directly on the ground because that leaves a burn scar on the gentle high desert.
Yeah.
So they have to, I guess, have like fire pits and stuff. And I guess we could get into the core principles, right?
Well, yeah. We've been kind of dancing around them a little bit. You said leave no trace. That's a big one. Radical self-expression.
Yeah, radical inclusion.
Yeah.
Radical self-reliance and radical self-expression. Those are the three radicals.
Right. Where, so you can't just be like, hey man, I forgot to bring some water. Radical self-inclusion or radical inclusion.
Yeah.
And they can be like, radical self-reliance, jerk.
Yeah. although gifting.
It's a big one.
Is a big one. It is very much about giving things without, it says gifting does not contemplate a return or an exchange for something of equal value. So it's not about trading even. It's about giving.
Right.
I will give you herpes. You don't have to give me anything back. You mentioned decommodification, no commercial sponsorships or anything like that.
Yeah, like that's why it wouldn't be a music festival. It's too commercialized.
Exactly. Communal effort.
Yeah.
It's all about collaborating. Hey, man, I'm out of nails for my big giant alien I'm building out of wood.
Right.
Don't worry, man. I got nails. I got your back.
Right. We'll just disassemble my giant alien out of wood and use the nails from that.
Civic responsibility. We value the civil society. Community members who organize events assume responsibility for public welfare.
Yeah.
That's a little tricky. I wonder what the law says about that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
what if someone got really hurt in someone's theme camp?
I don't know.
You know?
I genuinely don't know.
It says that the events have to be in accordance with the local laws, but they clearly break those a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of laws broken at Burning Man. But they don't have their own laws, so
yeah.
Technically there's no laws broken.
And then the last two are participation and immediacy. And the immediate experience is, in many ways, the most important touchstone of the culture, is what they say.
Yeah. I like that participation's in there. You can't just be like just some dude hanging out in the background, like staring at everybody.
They want you to get involved.
Right. Not only for your benefit, because, you know, no one wants to be stared at while they're nude and on acid. It's a bum trip.
Well, while we're on that, we should say that Burning Man is, in certain areas, are an X-rated, and they try to put up signage to indicate, because there are families that go. I don't think there's a lot of families that go.
No.
But there are, and they try to indicate, like, hey, this is a group sex camp, or this is a nudist camp. Stay away.
Can't you read the sign?
Yeah. But
keep your kids away.
You might want to, though, is the recommendation. Like, if you're not super open-minded, or if you are easily offended.
Or if you don't want to permanently damage your kids.
Yeah. Or if you want to be a good parent.
Yeah.
Then don't take your family. Or you may not want to go at all. Like, you really need to know what you're getting into here, folks.
Yeah. Because you're going to be thrust right into the center of a, like, 50,000 people who all came to, like, party.
That's yeah.
A big part of it. Like, you can call it a social experiment. You can call it, like, performance art. And it is all those things, but it's also people partying all the time for, like, a week.
Yeah. There's a lot of drugs and alcohol involved.
Yeah. And, you know, everything else. So
yeah.
If you're, you know, not cool with that, then I would imagine Burning Man would be a really bad place for you to go spend a week.
Yeah, but if you don't know that, and if you bought a ticket and made your way out there and you don't know that at that point, then yeah. I almost say you should go.
Well,
I want to see that dude.
I think Julia Layton writes that, like, you don't have to go for a week. Like, if you're thinking about
sure.
it, go test it out for a few days.
Yeah, that's what I would do. There's no way I would go for a week.
And I don't think they sell any ticket other than for a week.
Yeah.
So if you decide that you're going to have, like, whoa, I really like this. Mm-hmm. I really like partying every single day. Like, I'll stay the whole week. You can stay.
Yeah.
Because you got your ticket.
And on the sex note, there have been reports of sexual assaults and even a rape. It is clearly not the it's opposite of everything that Burning Man stands for, but
yeah.
There are always bad apples. And I think the general consensus is some dumb dudes show up thinking like, hey, it's just sex fest.
Right.
Because everyone's free love.
You need to go to sandals for that.
Exactly. It's not really the case. Like, that stuff does happen, but it's just like it would happen in the real world. I mean, maybe people are a little more, like, loose with their morals, but there, you know, have been reports of, like, a woman, like, dancing nude and then guys, like, kind of descending on her. Like, that's not okay.
Right.
Just because it's Burning Man doesn't mean she's inviting you to touch her. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And that raises a really excellent point. Like, Larry Harvey, like, from the beginning has said, like, this is a social experiment. And I wonder what he was thinking it was going to be, because surely he's found that any utopia mm-hmm. you create will eventually become poisoned by
destroy
the humans
itself.
Who go and yeah. take part in it.
Yeah, and I think it grew way, way, way bigger than they ever thought it would, which
sure,
is generally when the problems come.
They've still capped it at 50,000.
Yeah.
There's still people who, like, can't go. So, like, they're not capping it at, like, 10,000
yeah.
or 1,000. They chose 50,000.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, like, what they expected or what they're seeing. The people who are, like, really a part of the Burning Man org, what they're seeing that that surprised them, or that they were like, I knew this would happen.
Yeah, I imagine ticket sales. I mean, if it's $600 a ticket, I know there's lower ones, but that's like $30 million.
Supposedly not for profit.
Yeah, and I know they recently
lumber is extremely expensive.
I know they transferred the holding to a different company recently, and there was like a big battle between the original founders
mm-hmm.
because money got involved. And I think the original guy got kind of upset because people wanted to get paid. They were on the board, more money.
Larry Harvey?
Yeah.
Because there was another guy named Jerry James who is attributed as one of the founders with Larry Harvey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And what, was he upset about the financial thing?
I hadn't heard anything about that.
Yeah, I think I should look this up more. They transferred it to a new company, Burning Man Production LLC or something, mm-hmm. like a new nonprofit.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it all shook out, but I think some people cashed out that were on the original board is how it went down.
Huh.
I hope I didn't get that wrong. So let's say you want to go. You're down with all this. You're like, sure, I'll get my sunscreen out and put it in all the right places and take my clothes off, shave my head,
yeah,
paint myself green.
Apparently that's futile because everybody gets covered in dust and turns gray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gross.
Isn't that weird?
So the sunscreen just gets covered in...
I guess. And everybody turns into like this new race of people that have gray skin.
I can't imagine anything more uncomfortable. but let's say you do want to go. You've bought your ticket. Bring your sunscreen. Bring your water.
Yeah.
Lots of water.
Yeah, you want to bring a gallon of water per day, per person.
At least.
Just for drinking.
Yeah.
Plus another half gallon for like bathing and washing your clothes if you're into that kind of thing.
And if you're a sweater like me, you need to bring more than that.
Yeah.
I'd sweat out that gallon of water by noon.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's serious stuff because they don't give you water at Burning Man.
No.
Like, you might find some nice soul to do it, but like, you should not come expecting them to give you water.
That's right. It gets cold at night in the desert. If you've never been there, it's kind of interesting. It can be like a 40 degree temperature swing.
Yeah.
Within the course of a day to a night. So you got to bring your warm clothes as well. You might not have someone to snuggle up to at Burning Man. You know?
Right.
Can't count on that.
Sure.
And
you can't just make a fire just anywhere either.
Can't make a fire just anywhere, and you need to bring your own lights too. There
yeah.
obviously are lights everywhere, but you want your little flashlight and your headlamp and all that good stuff.
Yeah, because it gets dark. It
gets really dark.
And apparently people put art installations wherever they want.
Yeah.
And you may trip over them, because a lot of those installations have rebar.
Most of them do, I think.
Yeah.
And then you need to be highly adaptable, because like you said, you might have a plan in place, but Burning Man, you never know what's going to go on. So you got to be able to just kind of roll with it. That's sort of the idea.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a rigid individual,
yeah.
you don't want to go to Burning Man.
No, you're not going to have a very good time. Or your will break and you'll be like, okay, I'm ready to just kind of let things fly.
Yeah, that's true. I just watched that documentary on the Source Family. Have you heard of that one?
No.
They were a cult in the 70s in
yeah.
L.A.
I've read an article on them 40 times.
Yeah. It's very interesting. A lot of people, in fact, almost everyone they interviewed from today, wasn't like, yeah, this was some bad cult. They were like, they were still sort of living that life.
Well, it was like Paradise Lost. They all moved down to Mexico and lived on the beach and like were
Hawaii.
Swimming. Or I thought it was Mexico.
No, they were in LA and they eventually went to Hawaii and that was kind of the end of them.
And then so the leader had like a bad trip on the beach and then everything turned dark from that point on, right?
No, I think you're thinking of something else.
No, the Process Church.
No, this
oh,
wasn't the
Source.
Process Church.
Okay, I'm talking about the Process.
No, this is the Source family.
I've heard of them. I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, it's a new documentary. It's interesting.
Okay. What's it called?
The Source family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll watch that. You read the article in the Fordian Times about the Process
Was
Church.
That the 70s too?
It was like late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, man, there were cults all over the place.
Yeah. All you had to be was like a halfway likable person with a steady supply of acid and like
pretty much
got your own cult.
That's who this guy was.
Yeah.
He was like 6'6 and had this big gray beard
right.
And they're like, you are the father.
Right. And he's like, I know.
Yeah. Well, in their tenets, the first thing they had to do every morning was inhale 6 seconds from the sacred herb. So basically you just get everyone stoned.
Sure.
Like very first thing in the morning.
Wake and bake is what they call that.
Yeah. But they're also a band. It's really interesting. This weird psychedelic music and stuff.
Still around.
No.
Or at the time.
Well, some of the surviving members have gotten back together now and are playing again.
Maybe that's what I've heard of is the band The Source. I didn't realize they were a cult, too.
Yeah, they were a cult first and foremost.
It's like the Polyphonic Spree.
It's exactly like who they ended up sort of emulating,
that's
I think.
That's cool.
White robes and the whole deal.
Yeah.
All right. That was a sidebar. But in the spirit of Burning Man.
You know my buddy Toby? He was in the Spree?
Yeah, he's like a tambourine player?
No, he taught himself to play the theremin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He is the producer of a movie that's coming out in July or August with Rooney Mara and Casey Affleck called
Ain't
Them Body Saints.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
He's a producer.
Good for him, man. I like that dude.
Yeah, he's been making his way through Hollywood just like on... Like sheer grit.
Yeah, and he, if you're interested in a Bonnie Prince Billy fan, he did produced a short film called Pioneer starring Bonnie Prince Billy that was really, really good.
Yeah, him and his collaborator, David Lowery, two of them collaborate and make some good stuff. So
not,
way to go, guys.
Not David Lowery from Cracker and Camper Van Beethoven.
No.
Different guy.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, well, if you want to learn more about Burning Man, go to Burning Man. You can also visit the Burning Man site, or you can check out our article on howstuffworks.com. Just type Burning Man in the search bar. And since I said search bar, it's time again for a message break. Stuff you should
know. This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
And now it's time for listener mail.
Did we even say that they burn the man at the end? That's the whole point. They burn the man on the last night.
Oh, wow. Okay. So let's keep it going for a second.
By the way, they burned the man on the last night.
Yeah.
The end.
Which is neat. And I was thinking about this. Like, they have the man. So anywhere in camp, you can see this giant man.
Yeah.
And that, I think, has to really kind of add something like, this week is going to end. This man is going to die.
Yeah.
We're going to burn him. And then after that, this week is over. And then we're all going to die eventually. Like, just the fact that the man and what everybody knows is going to happen to the man is looming over everybody the whole week. Like, what effect does that have on you?
Dude, you should go to Burning Man and start a theme camp.
Yeah.
You know, like
just,
Josh
I'll just talk about what we're going to do to that poor man. Okay.
I'd go.
So that's the official end of the Burning Man episode now.
That's right.
Now it's time for listener mail.
That's right. I'm going to call this sort of a correction on a correction. Remember when we got the email about the American Red Cross denying men who have sex with men?
MSM.
MSM to be able to give blood.
Yeah.
This sort of explains that a little more thoroughly.
Okay.
Guys, I've been catching up on Stuff You Should Know, and after hearing the April 9th platypus episode, I had to race home to respond. Penelope was correct when she wrote that the American Red Cross permanently defers or turns away MSM donors. It was incorrect, however, to describe this as a Red Cross policy in origin. The policy was determined by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, not the Red Cross. The Red Cross is called the FDA ban medically and scientifically unwarranted, even, and seeks policy change because the FDA ban needlessly excludes healthy donors. I think we came down on the Red Cross a little bit.
Yeah, we did.
So
it's really the FDA we're mad at.
Exactly. Please let your listeners know that's not the American Red Cross, which is discriminating, but U.S. FDA. The Red Cross is obligated by law to adhere to the ban until the FDA can be convinced to change it. I have met some people who, though they are eligible to give blood, refuse to donate because they object to the FDA ban. Though well-intentioned, this refusal will only hurt people who need life-saving blood. There are always better ways to pressure the FDA to change its policy.
Big government, am I right?
Yeah. In the meantime, I hope everyone who's able to donate blood, platelets, and other blood products will continue to do so. Cheers, Kat.
Nice. Thanks a lot, Kat.
Yeah, I feel bad that we got that wrong. Or that we were misled by Penelope.
Maybe Penelope didn't know herself. Not everybody knows. It's the FDA's fault.
That's right.
So, FDA, change it. What's your problem?
And then someone from the FDA is going to write and say, no, you know it really is.
It's Lyndon Johnson's fault. If you want to lay something at the feet of somebody else, we want to know about that, especially if it clears something up that we got wrong. You can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. Join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@Discovery.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Netflix streams TV shows and movies directly to your TV, computer, wireless device, or game console. You can get a 30-day free trial membership. Go to www.netflix.com/stuff and sign up now.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.